if we think about fast fashion retailers and everything, they're almost trying to make it harder because they know that especially younger consumers are really like looking for those sustainability metrics that are really important to them. And so they're throwing out all these greenwashing buzzwords and, you know, trying to catch you in that way. I mean, being your burnt out self isn't going to like yield the best results. And I think that probably you guys are similar with like the podcast and everything of like part of your brain is telling you like, you got to hustle. You got to like do this if you're not. And I mean, that's part of what we see on like social media of like, you want to be successful. It's the 5 to 9 before your 9 to 5 and like everything like that. And but also if you're waking up at 5 a.m. and you're not able to get anything done because you're so exhausted or not inspired, that doesn't serve anyone at all.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another exciting Goal-Getter interview. Today, I'm thrilled to introduce Kylie Ross, the founder of One-Off, sustainable fashion realtor making waves in the industry. Fun fact, I honestly can't even remember how Kylie and I first connected, but I had the pleasure of interviewing her for my LinkedIn blog series last fall. Feel free to check that out on my LinkedIn if you're curious. But One-Off is doing incredible work by partnering with brands that are fully vetted for their social and environmental standards, ensuring sustainability throughout the life cycle of their clothing. So this means when brands have excess inventory, One-Off steps in to rescue those items from going to waste, getting them into your hands at a discounted price and keeping them out of landfills. It's great to have you here, Kylie.
So excited to be here. I remember when we met at a sustainable fashion runway show. So it's so fitting.
Did we really? Okay.
The Remake Your World event.
You're right.
Yes.
You're right. I was really like trying to rack my brain about how we met. You're so right. That's awesome. Okay.
That's so cool. Great. And it makes sense, right?
Yeah. I guess I've made a lot of connections from that event because we did interview another girl like a month ago who I met there as well.
Oh my gosh. So, yeah. Great people in the room there.
That makes sense. Yeah. Definitely.
We need to keep going, pal. So we
keep going to the Fashion Week events.
Well, amazing. Kylie, it's very nice to meet you. We're so happy that you're here. I guess we can start with the basics. Where did you grow up as a kid? What do you think your career would be?
Yeah, I grew up in the south suburbs of Chicago for my whole childhood, like up until college. I went through a lot of different phases of what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wanted to be a teacher for a really long time. I went through a phase where I wanted to be a maid because I really liked to clean things. And then I really got interested in business and being a business owner. Honestly, I think a lot with my grandpa, we would always watch Shark Tank together and he was like, you're going to be up there. And so I think I kind of switched gears thinking about like entrepreneurship, but also entering the business world. Not sure like what capacity I knew that was going to be in, but angled towards that. And then that's what I ended up doing in college as well.
That's so funny, the maid one.
Yeah, there's like a school project that we have that my best friend was going to be a princess, and I was going to be her maid. And I was like, that shows like what type of child I was. Like, okay.
I love that. Well, I believe One-Off actually was a school project originally, if I don't stand corrected. Can you kind of tell our listeners a bit about how that came to be? What was the original idea and how you kind of came up with that?
Yeah, so I actually came up with One-Off like one night laying in bed. I don't know. It was just like something that I thought about, made a couple quick notes. And then upcoming into that school year was my senior year of college. And one of the options that we had for the Honors College like thesis was to do a business case. And I was like, oh, I have this idea. It would be amazing to be able to spend a lot of time on it, but also be able to say, you know, like it's schoolwork, so I can dedicate a lot of time to like figuring this out, researching, being creative with it. And so that's kind of where I was able to develop it from, you know, chicken scratch ideas and then turn it into like this big report that I turned in for a grade, which I think was really great, kind of pressuring me of like, you know, if it's an idea that you think about, you're probably not, you know, questioning yourself on the financial model or anything like that. But when it's in a school report form. These are all questions that you have to think about and answer as well.
That's amazing. After college, I went to a business school. We did, like, for every semester, we did have to turn, like, a report or a paper for, like, to create a fake business. And it was so...
Okay.
It was so annoying on my end because I was like, I don't know how to create something. Stop. So
yeah.
During that time, when you were trying to, like, turn your college work into an actual business, what challenges did you face in building partnerships with brands?
Yeah, it was actually really interesting. I think that, so I graduated college in December, so a semester early. And then that kind of semester afterwards, where a lot of my friends and classmates were still in school, I was at home kind of figuring out my next move, trying to move to New York after school. And so I was able to give a lot of time there to dedicate to, like, what if I wanted to make this a reality and bring it beyond a school report? And I would do so many different things of, like, oh, here's a mock-up of what, like, an Instagram post would be, or, like, here's how I would send this type of email, but I wouldn't pull the trigger. Like, I could not reach out to a brand. I feel like I had such imposter syndrome of, like, I'm going to get on this call and they're going to ask me, like, what other partners do you have? And I'm going to be like, this is my first brand call ever, you know, and just see right through me. But once I was able to kind of work up the courage, I got so lucky where the first few brands that I talked to were like, we've been wanting something like this. This is perfect. Let's do it. You know, kind of putting full faith into the idea, which was extremely validating. But also, I think now, 2 years out, I'm like, wow, if I could get brands to respond like that, it would be amazing. But I think that kind of getting out of my own way was the biggest struggle at the beginning, and being like, okay, let's just try it. And, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect, but let's just move forward in this way and try to make it happen.
I think that is such a real and relatable feeling to so many people. I know that I felt like that when I don't have a full business, but I do some freelance on the side. And I remember just kind of trying to pitch my skills. I was like, yeah, how exactly do I even talk about myself without feeling braggy or like, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in your mind. And then I did the same thing. You got to write up emails, but never send them. And
Yeah. Like, I have everything prepped for when the time comes.
Exactly. But it's not today, but maybe tomorrow.
But I'll just
really
keep
just getting
there.
Out of that.
Yeah, exactly.
In my drafts until I push send. So I definitely relate to that. Sustainability is such a buzzword nowadays. How does one-off go beyond just kind of the trend to make real impact within the fashion industry?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think that even, you know, when I talk about I'm in sustainable fashion, that can mean so many different things to so many different people. There's so many different ways to kind of get involved and tackle the problem, you know, because it is such a problem in the industry. I think in terms of going beyond the trend, so to speak, is we partner with brands, small brands that are doing the work. And I think that it's very easy to get involved and be able to either say, you know, I'm going to create my own sustainable fashion line, which is great. And like, definitely think that, you know, more options there are always great. But I think that my goal for one-off is to be able to kind of step in as a helping hand to these brands that are doing amazing work, because it's incredibly difficult for them to be able to compete with the fast fashion giants of the world and Amazon and Shein and be able to kind of make a splash. And so being able to support them in what they do is probably the biggest way that we're going beyond just like slapping a buzzword into what we're doing.
That's wonderful. I think the fact that you're giving platform to these brands, it's amazing. But for our listeners out there who are trying to understand this topic better, like, how do you ensure your partners meet your social and environmental standards, and what criteria is most important to you during this process?
Yeah. So where I sit right now with OneOff, it's definitely, you know, I wish I could say we had like a full scale team that is able to, you know, visit factories and ensure these different things. I think a lot of, especially what I relied on at the beginning, was third party reports and analytics and deep dives into different brands on what exactly they're doing. I think there's a lot of great resources out there that, you know, have the ability to do that. And also, I've really been leaning into the industry and learned a lot. I think that there's certain things that I look out for, of like the cadence of how quickly they're dropping new styles, how many items are they selling. You know, most brands these days, if you look on their website, they'll have, you know, a sustainability tab and what we're doing. But I think I've developed really the skills to be able to see through a lot of things that are lip service. And, you know, do they have actionable insights into what they're trying to do, what they have accomplished? Do they have certifications around it? And really talking to the founders as well to be able to see, like, okay, why is sustainability a pillar of your business? Because that's also something that qualifies brands to be a OneOff partner, is that it's not like they say sustainability is great. It's like, no, this is part of why their business was founded to begin with and is really part of the DNA of the brand.
Yeah. And that can be really hard to tell sometimes.
Absolutely.
What kind of digging, this isn't a question that we've had prepared, but like, I'm just curious now, what kind of digging or research do you kind of do on a brand? So if you have a brand, you go to the sustainability website and they just say like, oh, sustainability is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's probably then a no.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, saying like, we want our products to last. Mm. Okay, great. But if I'm able to then look at, you know, material composition of your items, if everything is polyester, or maybe you have nothing about where your garments are produced, or you say something like, we work with great factories. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Where are they? Like, what do you ensure that they are great? You know, and really leaning on that transparency piece, I think brands that are really, you know, doing the work, as I've said, share what they're doing, you know. And if you say, we use great factories, they'll say, this is where they're located, these are, you know, the certifications that they have, this is what we ensure is happening in terms of payment and breaks and healthcare benefits and everything like that. And if a brand is keeping their cards close to the chest, it's probably because they have nothing to show for it.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And that can be really hard for just the general public to kind of weave through all that information.
Totally.
So how would you kind of tell people, like, starting their sustainable fashion journey, how do they kind of weave through all of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely overwhelming. And I would say that almost from, like, if we think about fast fashion retailers and everything, they're almost trying to make it harder, because they know that especially younger consumers are really, like, looking for those sustainability metrics that are really important to them. And so they're throwing out all these greenwashing buzzwords and, you know, trying to catch you in that way, which makes it so much harder. I mean, I think that part of kind of the role I've taken on with, like, family and friends is, like, being able to be, like, a correspondent on, like, okay, is this brand actually good or something like that. And I've had friends that are like, wait, I thought that this was, like, really great. And it's like, actually, like, no, like, if you're able to, you know, kind of parse through the different details. And I would say that biggest piece of advice is that no consumer is going to be perfect in that way. If you end up, like, buying from a greenwashing brand, that doesn't mean that you, you know, did something bad, or like, you should give up or anything like that. And in that vein, I think a lot of people, it's like, I realized how bad the fast fashion industry is, like, I need to get rid of everything in my closet. And, you know, that's not the way forward, I don't think, either. I always try to say, like, the most sustainable piece of clothing is the one that's already in your closet. It's already something that's been produced and you're able to keep out of the landfill. And then it's, as you move forward, how can you try to be a little bit more conscious? If that's, you know, buying less in general, that's a great way. If you're always shopping secondhand or checking secondhand first, like, there's so many different ways to be a more sustainable consumer in fashion and beyond, and really just finding the way that works best for you, because I can't, like, give you a step-by-step playbook of, know, this is how to be the perfect fashion consumer, because that just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I think, it's not about getting overwhelmed and trying to fix the world right away. It's like one step at a time. And we need to be patient. Absolutely. What trends or changes in the fashion industry excite you the most right now? And especially when it comes to sustainability, of course. And what role do you think women can or do play in driving that positive change?
Yeah, that is a great question. I think that obviously it's interesting because it's like we see so much of, I think, like this groundswell movement for sustainable fashion to become more mainstream and for brands to care more about it and get involved and change things. But then on the flip side, I see that like Shein is doing better than ever. And it's like, how do we kind of justify that? But I do think that a lot of consumers are kind of opening their eyes to it a little bit more. And, you know, voting with your dollar is such a huge thing, obviously. You know, it can be hard to say, like, how does me not spending $50 at Zara impact them? It's like, well, no, if, you know, 10,000 people say I'm not shopping at Zara this month or ever again, that's a huge impact in being able to signal. I think your question about how women can get involved, the fashion industry is very interesting in that 80%, I might fudge the numbers a little bit, but like 80% of the global workforce in the fashion industry is women. So that's everything from people in these factories in underdeveloped countries to working in retail stores. And the primary consumer of fashion is women as well, both for themselves, but typically they could be, you know, the fashion shopper for the home or their significant other as well. But then leadership for fashion companies, I think only like 15% of fashion CEOs are women. And so how do we, you know, from the beginning of being the consumer and being the one that's able to like drive these businesses, show what's important to us, because it is the defining factor. And, you know, if you're going to say that, you know, fashion is such like a feminist space or like feminine space as well, you know, how can we be able to speak out for the millions of women that are employed on the global supply chain of fashion and don't see it as like this bright, shiny way to express ourselves, but something that's maybe holding them back? That just was like a very wide-ranging answer, but I think that there's just so many different ways to kind of get involved and like see the tides turning as well. I mean, even just people asking the question of like, where was this made? Or, oh, what is the material in this garment? Like, I don't think that that's something that was a conversation as much even 5-10 years ago.
I totally agree with that. It's definitely more of a fab to have that conversation with your friends now than it was even when we were back in high school.
Yeah.
So it's not that old. I mean, it's definitely old conversation, but it's more more of a public conversation. It's not being behind closed doors as much. It's more something that people will discuss over dinner. You know, it's more of a,
It's definitely becoming more mainstream, which is amazing. I think that a lot of, I mean, like any type of social change or anything, like it has to be something that people are talking about and bringing to the forefront, and it can't just be something that you're, you know, stays in sustainability or environmental spaces, because that can be an echo chamber, and that also is like a much smaller section. You know, I can talk to my other like sustainable fashion like founders and everything about how much Shein sucks, and it's like, yeah, we all know, but how can we like talk to people that are shopping there, or, you know, maybe don't realize the damage and the danger of that company as well?
Yeah, definitely. What is one piece of advice that you wish someone had given you before jumping into this career?
Oh, that's a great question. And I think that I feel like I've gotten so many different pieces of advice that have been like helpful at different aspects, you know, throughout my journey. I think that one thing that my mom always asks me, and I guess this isn't advice, but I almost take it as that, is that if she asks me for an update on, you know, how One Off is doing or how things are going, she'll always say, are you still having fun? And I think that when we talk about sustainability and, you know, women in the global supply chain and everything, like, it's such a heavy and serious topic. And I think that that always grounds me in, you know, one-off isn't my full-time job. It doesn't pay my bills or anything like that. And it is, you know, a passion project of mine. And even though it can be super serious, am I still being able to find like the joy and the light in it? And I think that that is something that, you know, people talk about, you know, getting like eco anxiety, and that is very real. And how can we kind of keep the light and the momentum going is a really big kind of piece of advice, or at least like statement that I try to keep close to my heart.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I love that. And I think we can relate too with the podcast project that we have.
Yeah.
It's just, for me, it's just a joy to record with either just Grace or with the amazing guests that we've had, like you, meeting new people. And just, and at the end, what we want here is to empower women. And it's a, like you said, a serious topic, very important. But Grace and I, we need to make sure we're having fun. This is not work. This is not something we need to be complaining about. So I can relate to that a lot. I think we both do. So moving a little bit more to the empowerment area, I really admire entrepreneurs and business owners a lot, because again, I do not relate. I don't know or want to start a business. So I'm like, wow, you guys are amazing. So as a founder, what has been your proudest moment with One-Off so far?
Yeah, I think I go through a lot of different moments where I was like, oh, that is really great. Or, oh, that's, you know, reassuring. Sometimes it can be just like after a slow period, an order coming in, and I'm like, okay, like I can feel good. I think that probably like a standout, really proud moment for me is if I get texts from people or Instagram DMs of wearing the clothes and being able to say like, I'm wearing this. I love it so much. Someone asked me about it and I was able to like tell them all about One-Off. And I think that that to me is so exciting, because obviously, you know, One-Off exists because people have to be able to like the clothes, you know, and want to wear them. But if it's able to spark a broader conversation of not just like, oh, my friend or like this person has a business, but like this is what they do. It's actually, you know, a sustainable garment for this reason and that reason, I think is always super exciting and a really proud moment for me.
I could definitely see how that would be really rewarding.
Yeah.
What is some advice that you'd give other women who are considering to start their own business kind of in or outside of the fashion industry?
Yeah, I think going back to kind of what we were talking about earlier is, you know, depending on, I would imagine that most people that are wanting to start their own business or kind of like take one of those challenges probably has a very similar personality type to me. And I would say like, I wanted things to be perfect so badly, you know, drafting those emails and reiterating it and never actually sending it. And I would say like, take that leap into it and, you know, launch now, adjust later is kind of like a mantra of like, it's never going to be perfect. You can sit on something for so many years, but you're going to be able to learn more, adjust more, perfect more once you get going. So that would be my big piece of advice, is just take that leap.
No, that's amazing. And I think we can also relate to that, that wanting to everything to be perfect and finding all the, like, we're overlooking into every single detail, every single time. It can be exhausting. So then again, running a small business or a big business can be, it is very demanding, right?
Yeah.
So how do you balance your professional goals with maintaining your own well-being and mental health?
That is a great question. And I think I touched on this a little bit earlier, but I have a like 9-to-5 traditional job as well. And then I run One-Off on the side. And I think that a lot of people, you know, even this past week are like, so when do you do that? Like, what does that time like look like? And I think that for me, almost like contrary to my personality, is like, I have to be able to like, maybe not go with the schedule of like, okay, if I finish work at 6 to 7, I'm going to do this thing for One-Off, and really be able to almost lean into how I'm feeling. Like, okay, maybe this day, like I really need to be able to like go outside and go for a walk, and like, that's okay. And I think something that I'm realizing more now is kind of in the aspect of like, not everything's going to be perfect, but also there's always going to be something else to do. There's always going to be more work to be done. And so how do I show up to be my best self to do that? And sometimes it's taking breaks. And sometimes it's saying like, okay, I'm not going to look at anything for one-off all weekend. Like maybe that's like what's needed to be able to like come back refreshed and kind of giving myself that grace. It's definitely challenging. I think that that's something that I'm still working on of like, okay, it's doesn't mean that I failed to be able to take a break or take a step back, but you know, maybe that's how I'm able to be my best self moving forward if I'm able to give myself that little break as well.
I find that for myself as well. If I step back for a few days or like you said, take a weekend off, I can usually come back to a project and look at it from almost a different lens.
Yeah, totally. I mean, being your burnt out self isn't going to like yield the best results. And I think that probably you guys are similar with like the podcast and everything of like, part of your brain is telling you like, you gotta hustle, you gotta like do this if you're not. And I mean, that's part of what we see on like social media of like, you want to be successful, it's the 5 to 9 before your 9 to 5 and like everything like that. And but also if you're waking up at 5 a.m. and you're not able to get anything done because you're so exhausted or not inspired, that doesn't serve anyone at all.
I definitely agree. You need your beauty sleep first and then So what is next for One Off? Are there any exciting projects, partnerships that you can tell us about coming up?
Yeah, actually launching with a new brand partner, which I'm super excited about. It's definitely something that I've been focusing on of like getting back into. I think that, I mean, we have amazing partners right now, but really wanting to refresh, get some more inventory on the site, but also another brand will be amazing. And so working on getting that all set up, but then also bringing on more brand partners is definitely a goal of mine this year as well, and kind of just expanding the One-Off family and ecosystem.
And we're looking forward to seeing the amazing projects coming your way. And we're getting to the end of the interview, and so we have two more questions, which are our favorites to ask. We're not going to lie. So if you could have lunch with any badass woman from history or pop culture or like real life, who would it be and what would you ask her?
Yes, I would have to choose Taylor Swift. And that is probably a very common answer for a lot of people. But I think like obviously I could talk to her for hours and hours about like Eras Tour, like literally anything. But I think what I would want to ask her specifically is like, how does she, I think that from like a mental health standpoint and like truly like the amount of like hate and like backlash and everything she gets from like every like waking move is insane. And that's just like from what I see on like my corner of the internet. And how does she deal with that and like is able to like move past it, be in her own lane? Because I think that obviously like I'm not getting a bunch of hate online, like thankfully, but you know, I think that there's a lot of lessons to be learned of like, okay, how do you really be able to focus on yourself and kind of like lead with your path forward? And I think that that's something that I would definitely want to ask her about.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard to hate her. I feel like even if you don't like her music, she is a self-made billionaire. Like, it's just incredibly impressive.
Yeah,
speaking about women in business, she's like,
right?
Yeah,
such a goal.
Yeah.
So our last question, as I said, this is probably my favorite question to ask, because it's kind of funny to see where everyone ends up, but I think I know what you're going to answer this one now. If your life had a theme song, what would it be?
Yeah, this is definitely, it's recycling an answer from your LinkedIn post. So, you know, plug there again. But The Man by Taylor Swift, I think, has been my recent like theme song and mantra. And I've even been kind of using it to like frame some of my friends. I mean, what we're talking about of wanting to show up perfect and like everything like that. And just being like, okay, if you were a man, do you think that you would be worried about that? Or if you were in like his shoes, would you be all like worried about like showing up this way or saying that comment? Or everything like that. And, you know, it might sound silly, but I think honestly, like using it as like a gut check of like, no, actually, I wouldn't care. Or like if it was opposite, like it wouldn't be something that is a question in my mind. And so The Man by Taylor Swift, I think, would be my soundtrack these days.
That's a great answer. I think we need to keep track, pal, about like,
I think we do. I'm thinking like a Spotify playlist of all of our guests' answers.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Thank you, Kylie. Now we're going to have a Spotify playlist.
No, that would be amazing. Probably like a great like morning pump up playlist too.
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely. So thank you, Kylie, for joining us. This has been an amazing interview. Anything you want to add before we wrap up?
I would just add, if you're interested in getting into the sustainable fashion space, it can definitely be overwhelming on where to start, how to dive in. It's a massive problem. There's a ton of ways to fix it and try to fix it. So don't get discouraged with that. If you're interested in one-off, you can find us on Instagram, TikTok, website as well.
Thank you. This has been such an insightful and inspiring conversation. Your journey with one-off is a testament to how passion and purpose can come together to create real impact, from turning a school project into a thriving business to redefining what sustainability means in fashion. You're truly paving the way for a more conscious industry. So thank you so much for sharing your story. For our listeners, make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Goal Getter Podcast for updates and amazing content. You can listen to the Goal Getter Podcast wherever you get it. And so don't forget to tune in. We have weekly episodes you won't want to miss. So see you next week.
Bye, everybody.